Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside. Repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Well, music has always been a big part of my life, and I think it always will be. And if acting becomes a big part of it, as long as one thing doesn't take away from the other, I'll be happy. As long as I'm happy doing the projects that I'm doing, you can't really think too much about it, and I just kind of do it.
This is The Vault by Access Hollywood.
We're taking you on an epic journey into the heart of Hollywood with iconic interviews and fascinating conversations from the biggest stars in the business.
The Vault opens now.
Hello, hello. Welcome back to the podcast. I'm Zuri Hall.
I'm Scott Evans.
And this is The Vault by Access Hollywood. Scott, I am so excited.
Are you? Are you?
Are you kidding?
It's Friday.
It is not Friday, but it feels like a Friday.
It feels like a party.
Exactly. It is a party because the one and only Justin Timberlake is being celebrated today on the podcast. And this, I think it's safe to say, was my first true love. And yeah, I'm going there.
You Senor know, normally Timberlake was your first true love.
I am literally sitting across from my boyfriend as I tape this. He just perked up.
He was like, hold up.
No, first that's I've just heard. How much first he I've has heard. Accepted this reality. He's just like, here she goes about this man.
This man, here she goes. I mean, sorry to this man.
I'm sorry to this man. This man being Sean Culkin. I love being Sean. He's so over me. Scott, I'm really excited because in all seriousness, I've been a fan of Justin's for a long time from the NSYNC days. I don't know if you were into the boy bands at all. Were you an NSYNC versus Backstreet kind of guy?
Okay, here's what I can say to you. In my truth.
Okay, you speak your truth.
I'm gonna speak it. I'm gonna stand in my truth.
This is a safe
and
space.
And is this allow me to take up my own space?
Take up your space.
Creating sacred space for me and my truth. Here I am.
This truth better not have any Timberlake slander. We won't stand for it. Speak your truth as long as it don't step on mine. How about that?
How about that? Catch me outside. Okay, listen. I could not tell you one Backstreet Boys song. I couldn't tell you a chord. I couldn't. You could start singing their most popular song
Quit
right now.
Playing games with my heart. No. First of all, forget Backstreet, and I say that lovingly. This is an NSYNC and Justin Timberlake stan account today.
Well,
okay?
What I came to tell you was that I could give you no strings attached choreo as we speak. I could give you probably at least two full numbers with stage direction, audience inclusion.
Of course.
Me and my friend Mariah McKiernan Allen. We would perform the dances at parties.
Oh my God. You were those people?
Yes. We had matching outfits.
Were you the puppet and was she holding the strings?
Hold up.
Or was it vice versa?
Hold up. Listen, could give you all of it. Back when, in a simpler time, NSYNC, they would give it to you.
Yeah, they would give it to you. They really would.
If you, and as far as I was concerned, when it came to like pop bands, it was only NSYNC. I'm gonna just be real.
Ooh, that's a big one. That's a big statement.
Pop.
I'm inclined to back you up.
Boy bands. It was. I wasn't. Backstreet Boys. Yeah. Miss me.
Oh, see, I appreciated Backstreet for who they were, but NSYNC held the crown. Mm-mm.
What was the one with Nick Lachey? 98 Degrees?
Don't you play Nick, though. They That's had my maybe Ohio
one.
Homie.
They had they one. Had, I love him. I love him. They had one or two, but it was not, it was, they would, okay, and keep it on, keep it. Back right. to the NSYNC.
98 Degrees had a couple hits.
Not taking anything away from their truth.
These truths, it's so much truth. There's not enough space for all this truth.
Rarely is.
This NSYNC tangent is exactly what I needed. But before we dive deep into his NSYNC days, it's important to know, obviously, we know him. We love him. He's a singer. He's a songwriter. He's an actor. He's a producer. He's sold over 32 million albums and 56 million singles, which is just crazy globally throughout his solo career.
Good mind Lord. You.
That's not even adding the NSYNC numbers. Justin is the recipient of 10 Grammy Awards, 4 Emmys, 3 Brit Awards, and 9 Billboard Music Awards. And the obvious, one of the members, one of the lead singers of one of the best-selling boy bands of all time.
Of all time.
NSYNC is Justin Timberlake, baby. Boom. Let's go.
What's interesting about you talking about the album sales that he had after leaving NSYNC, or after NSYNC kind of ended, if you talk to Lance Bass, like the mm-hmm. breakdown of how they ended up with hardly no funds from some of those albums, from some of that, from that work based on shady management, like,
yeah,
it's to know that you are one of the top selling acts of all time, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. we're like, well, wait, where the money at?
Exactly.
Unreal.
Which was the same thing they was asking, apparently.
Exactly.
And it was so wild about that is we hear this so often, right? Mm-hmm. You've heard TLC say the same things. NSYNC apparently has gone through it. So many bands are like, we were young, we were hungry, mm-hmm. we were desperate to make it. You sign on that dotted line very often with no questions asked.
Let's bring up some of these clips, right? Because you think about best-selling, one of the best-selling bands of all time, but NSYNC was also one of the mainstream artists that's been credited with bringing that pop explosion of the 90s, right? You also had Britney Spears, Christina Aguilera, Backstreet Boys, of course, who were part of this 90s pop scene, mm-hmm. and that really seemed to last the whole stretch of that thing from 95 to 2002. I mean, NSYNC was everywhere. So Access actually sat down with Justin in 2000 to talk about his success and the music landscape, how he saw things kind of going, where he wanted to be, and how he was actually working to stay motivated. Listen to this.
I want to talk first about how there's been room for everybody in this explosion, from our guy Fred Durst and Limp Bizkit to you guys and boy bands and big bands, little bands.
It's funny how everything has come together. You know, you're seeing a total melting pot of all different types of music. And I said this, you know, like a year and a half ago, I said this was gonna happen. I was like, you're gonna see every different style of music go and start everything. And pop is what's popular. Mm-hmm. That's what people don't understand. And I can't, like, it's kind of weird for us. We're categorized boy band is like a style of music now. Like, that's stupid.
No,
you know,
no, it's good.
I mean, we're guys and we're in a group, we're in a vocal group, but that's not a style of music. You know, pop is the style that we do, and it's R&B pop. It's got rhythm, you know, it's got like the harmony sound to it. But yeah, I mean, like you said, you see Eminem and you see, of course, Limp Bizkit and you know, I mean, Lone Star and Creed and
Korn, it's
NSYNC,
a big tent.
And Korn and Dr. Dre. You see all these different styles of music on Billboard, and I think it's cool for music, and I think, you know, it's definitely revolutionizing, you know, what's gonna happen with music.
How do you stay so focused? I mean, you got good people around you, I know that, but what about you?
I just always, you know, that's just the, you know, I grew up looking up to Michael Jordan, really, and he helped me a lot. It's funny, man, how that was like my role model, you know, growing up.
Helped you what way, how to handle everything?
Just showed me what determination really was, and I, you know, and that's what's helped me along the way, and that's why I kind of look at in my field. I guess I want to be kind of like the Michael Jordan of my field. So that's just the way I look at it. And my parents have always said, if you're not gonna do it, all the way than just don't do it at all. So.
Am I the only person who thinks he sounds like Justin Bieber in that clip? No, just me?
He's very young. He's very young.
He was 19-ish, yeah. He was just giving me Bieber energy. Not in a bad way, he just sounded like Bieber. He was extremely confident.
Extremely confident. Which, I mean, you think about how hyped he would have been by the year 2000, right? How successful the band would have been. Mm-hmm. How he would have been at this point working toward his own success, his singular solo success, right? There would have been some efforts in making that a reality.
He'd been Mickey Mouse clubbing since he was like six.
Exactly.
So
I mean,
he's not new to this.
He's been doing this, It's also interesting to hear artists talk about being in the pop music category and being upset that they're in the pop music category, almost like, but it's just popular music. Well, it also describes the kind of music
the vibe.
That is it's
exactly
a vibe.
Like, why are you mad? We like your music. Like, we didn't do it to you. You did this to us.
You did this.
Apologize. You should be sorry. Apologize. It was interesting to hear him kind of break down, which honestly I hadn't ever really thought about in that way. The fact that boy band is not a genre. There are five boys in the band. But yeah, that's
a
not
vocal
a
group.
Musical style. Yeah, but I liked hearing his take on that though.
It's also, I think, interesting to hear him talking about his parents who are saying to him, if you're not going to go all the way with something, if you're not going to give it everything you've got, he talked about wanting to be the Michael Jordan of the music industry. Of this thing that he was doing, it was like, well, what's the point? If I'm not going to be the greatest, if I'm not going to give it the greatest kind of energy, then I should find something else I really want to do.
Mm-hmm. I love that. But that at such an early age, having that understanding, that mindset, that conditioning, clearly shows why he's gotten as far as he's gotten and why he has the staying power that he has, because it is very rare that you see even the lead singer of some of these bands that were at one point the biggest in the world sustain that, not just immediately post band era, but for years and years and years after. Like Justin Timberlake is still making great music. He's still selling. He's still performing. I mean, when was his second halftime performance?
Just a couple of years ago.
At the Super Bowl, the one where he tried to play us and didn't give us the full NSYNC reunion that we wanted.
Yeah.
Remember he let him pop
in Minnesota
for 13 seconds. He was like, all right, go back.
In Minnesota. Yeah, that was Minnesota Super Bowl because he did a tribute to Prince where he lit up the whole city in purple light.
Yeah,
during that performance, remember?
And that was his Man of the Woods era?
Man of the Woods era.
Man of the Woods, yeah.
And I think one of the things that really benefited Justin Timberlake at the beginning of his solo career was his tap into R&B, the R&B sound, his tap into R&B melodies, right? His understanding of that rhythm and blues, you know, coming from Tennessee, coming from, you know, a more southern sound, a more soulful sound that really resonated coming out of this guy who was like, oh, and I can sideways moonwalk. You know what I'm saying? So I think that was one of the things that really, because when he left that boy band sound, that that pop sound, he did a really sharp turn in that first single with Pharrell, that dun 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 dun, like you could play that today,
right?
And it's still I just wanna love you, baby.
Ooh, okay, falsetto. That song, Cry Me a River, right? Like that was very moody R&B vibes. It makes a lot of sense to me then. You know, we talked about this in the Justin Bieber episode about not the bidding war, but
yeah, kind of.
Yeah, fight. Between Usher and Timberlake to, you know, groom this young artist in Justin Bieber and be the one to sign him and kind of help guide his career. And obviously Usher ended up winning out. But you can see now how Timberlake would have seen a lot of himself in that younger Bieber, because Justin Bieber also has a lot of that influence where he is very much inspired by rhythm and blues, soul, and is very vocal about it, right, too, about how it inspires him and shapes his music.
Not every white dude can pull off cornrows straight to the back.
I forgot about those.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I'm not going to say that Justin pulled them off, but I'm saying,
right, there was
it was an effort that was made.
The attempt was had.
Yeah. You know, that Tiger Heat magazine had people in.
First of all, it was Tiger Beat, sir.
Damn, you're absolutely right.
Yeah, yeah.
That'll do
it. Those were my jams, like Tiger Beat, J14. Remember that magazine? But all of those, like Teen Bop, I think Teen Bop was the name of another magazine.
And then became Kids Bop, the CD you can listen to in the car without having your kids cuss at you.
Right, right, right. No, actually, I think that was a complete reach. And that is not.
Have you heard? Wait, Google the Kids Bop version of WAP by Cardi B.
Why did they even make that?
They did it.
I'm just I was about to be like, oh, what petition do I need to sign? Because WAP is my jam, but what we don't need. And I said,
could you imagine them little kids?
7 days a week.
No. We need an ad break. Can we just take a commercial break?
Let's do it. We got to come back. We'll go to the break. We'll be back after this.
We are back. We have gathered ourselves.
Calm down.
You settled?
I don't know about settled, but it's...
Yeah, okay. We're getting there.
Can you take the next couple clips?
Okay, please? I got you. I have a question for you, though. Uh-oh. So I'm going to need you here.
Okay.
When I say Justin Timberlake, what do you automatically think of? Is it NSYNC Justin, solo Justin, or actor Justin?
Ooh, okay. I'm going to tell you, can I be 100% honest with you?
100 is all we do.
I just saw Palmer on Apple TV Plus.
Okay, yeah.
His latest movie.
Right.
And I was moved. Really? I think he did a tremendous job that was maybe overlooked by some circumstances that could not be avoided. You know what I mean?
Right.
You know, the conservatorship, the Free Britney movement, the release of the documentary on the New York Times documentary on her conservatorship. I think there were some unfortunate timing things for that project, because I think the people who made considerable efforts to make that happen and to bring that story to the masses, it's a tremendous story. So I right now think of the actor, Justin.
Do you? Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't. I say that
Facebook?
With all due respect. I think of... overwhelmingly, I think of solo Justin, right? Because at this point, his solo career has gone longer than his years as an active member of NSYNC.
True.
But as someone who was a diehard NSYNC fan, and that was my introduction to him and to the other guys and their music, like NSYNC is always gonna be
the pinnacle.
That thing. Yeah, that's the... And not pinnacle in a way of, like, I don't want to discredit all that he's accomplished, because he really is killing it. And I've been a huge fan of his solo work. And I still am.
Mm-hmm.
But NSYNC and the fact that he was leading that group, him and then, like, also JC Shazay to a certain extent, at a time that was really a pop culture moment, like a pop culture phenomenon.
The frosted tips, ringlet curls.
Yeah, never forget. When he had that, like, curly fro thing with the blonde tips. Yeah, with the stuff.
I showed him a picture of that. He was like, man, are you going to do this every time? I said, every time I see you, I'm going to show you the exact same, from the same week. Different outfits.
He was like,
God.
I liked it.
Why didn't anybody tell me? I said, I think that we did. I think we did try to tell you. You weren't listening.
They were gassing him up. I was probably gassing him up
you
too. Like,
oh my God, you're so fine.
England. Oh my God, look at his curls. So yes, a hybrid of NSYNC and solo singer Justin is what I automatically think of. And in 2003, a lot of people were still stuck on NSYNC Justin. We all know, obviously, NSYNC disbanded back in 2002, which, oh my God, that was almost 20 years ago. Wow. They went their separate ways. Mm-hmm. And almost immediately after the group went on hiatus, Justin was full on solo mode.
Just like, I had two albums ready.
locked and loaded. You hear me?
Yeah.
And they went hard too. They banged. He wanted to get out there. He wanted to show a new version of himself to the world. I mean, think about this. NSYNC's last tour concluded in April of 2002. Mm-hmm. In August of 2002, he performed as a solo artist at the VMAs and released his first solo single that you were talking about, Like I Love You. I mean, that is a quick turnaround.
I mean, it goes. That Justified really album was tough.
Came out November of the
Pharrell
year.
All over it. Timbaland all over it.
Got how many Grammys did we get? I know they received Best Pop Vocal Album and Best Male Pop Vocal Performance. I don't know if there were others, but at least two. Hell, two as your first solo debut.
Yeah.
I'll take it. I'll take one.
I take a check. I'm just kidding.
Well, he was getting all of them. He was getting the checks. He was getting the Grammys. He was getting the acclaim. That debut album, Justified, like I mentioned, it dropped in November of that same year that the band broke up. And Access actually sat down with Justin the following year, 2003, to talk about all of his success and how glad he was that he was able to break the boy band mold and that the album had been received so well by his fans and critics. Listen to this.
I definitely have a sense of relief, and I'm thankful that everything was orchestrated, you know, the right way as far as the record company getting the records to you know, a different kind of crowd. And, you know, for the most part, I just, you know, when I went in the studio to do this record, I just said, I just have to do something that feels honest. And that's what I did, and I have to give credit to the record company, to my record company, Jive, for getting the records to different places and breaking the mold of how they, you know, kind of promote the records. So I think the records got to the right people, and I'm thankful that people liked it.
You know, I went back to the album and the fact that you made it. You made it. You cleared it. All the media speculation, everything. You did it on the music.
It was tough, but we got here.
Yes. There were some dissenters, though. Obviously, like, this guy can't make it. He's... You know, there's some dissenters out there saying this guy's part of NSYNC, he isn't going to make it. Mostly guys, probably the El Machis.
Right.
Do you feel a sweet vindication?
I mean, I never really thought about it so much. I was just happy to be able to do my own record and happy to be able to do, you know, what the music that I enjoy.
He is the only member of that band that was able to go on to exceed the success of the band itself, right?
Right.
And
right.
I don't want to take anything away from Lance and Joey in particular, people that I have worked with, mm-hmm. interviewed, developed, you know, a rapport with. They are incredible performers. And creators, right? In their own right.
And shout out to Chris Kirkpatrick and JC Chazet.
I've never met either one of them.
I haven't either, but still.
I just, you know,
leave the other two hanging.
No, I mean, you know, they cool. They
y'all did
they
that.
Know.
JC, well, because, and that was, I remember when it happened, when the band broke up and Justin, and can we fact check this? I kind of really want to know when JC dropped his album, because do you remember that Justin and JC dropped solo albums within a very short amount of time, back to back, and it made Justin's success, I think, made it all the more difficult for someone like JC, maybe unfairly even, to step out of that shadow, because it's almost like, and you see this often with groups. If maybe the second lead singer or the backup to the lead had just been a solo artist, period, or had never been associated with said lead singer,
right,
you would never have to live in that shadow and would probably just make a name in your own right. But because your talent stood alongside someone else's for so long, mm-hmm. the public just can't shake it. They can't let it go. I cannot imagine how frustrating that must be. And to be clear, so JC Chazet, his album Schizophrenic came out at the start of 2004. So about a year after Justin's first solo album. But shoot, Justin was locked and loaded because he came out with, was it Future Sex Love Sounds?
not too long after that.
The success and of so the first one.
What lets you know is like, and this is pure speculation, but I would imagine that, you know, you're both working on albums around the same time. Justin comes out first and you're like, hold up.
Let me give you some time.
I need two more cuts. Can you call Pharrell and see if he got another song? We gonna have to come with a little bit more heat.
Right. I like JC's album, but I mean, Justified certainly set Justin up for the solo career he has now. Mm-hmm. Billboard in 2018, right? So this is just a few years ago. In retrospect, which to me gives it more weight, said the album, and I quote, may possibly be the most iconic debut album from a former band member in pop music history, describing it as a bona fide success that foreshadowed Timberlake's superstardom to come, and at the same time, a declaration of independence from his poppier beginnings. If you can look back 15 years after an album dropped, and Billboard's like, yeah, nah, he still got that. He's the one out of all the people.
What do you think of, and this is a total left turn, but what do you think of the current measure, the current perception of Justin Timberlake, you know, in pop culture, as not only a fan, but also as a person who covers entertainment? You know what I mean? You are aware of things that,
this feels like a
setup, I don't,
but I'm going to speak truthfully.
I don't want it to be. And if it does, I will go first and you don't have to go, but it does seem to me to be a little odd to have this conversation about our honest appreciation for his artistry while omitting the elephant in the room, so to speak, of what is currently happening in this artist's life. You know what I mean? I think the last time we heard from Justin Timberlake beyond the kind of announcement of his family's beautiful a new addition was an apology to not only Britney Spears, but also Janet Jackson, right?
Right.
Yeah. And so I just wonder what your thoughts are. And I'm not saying that they're going to be totally encapsulated in this brief conversation about Justin Timberlake, but it does seem to me to be irresponsible for us to have this conversation without
Absolutely. And I would expect nothing less, because it is so much a part of the conversation around him and his artistry right now. So now certainly feels like the time to do that. I mean, look, when we look at the industry as a whole right now, there is a reckoning. There is a reckoning happening in real time across the board, and no one is being spared, nor should they be. And that is not to advocate for cancel culture. That is not a thing that I
agree,
believe in or support. But you should not be spared from being held accountable and being afforded the opportunity in many situations learn to apologize, to own up to mistakes once you know you've made them, and to be better. And this is that moment for him. This is an opportunity that I hope he will rise to. There's certainly more that could be done or said publicly. Yeah. That apology, you know, in light of the Free Britney movement, was a step in the right direction, a first step of many in the right direction. You know, we think about that first Super Bowl halftime performance. And I thought about it even when we talked about it a little earlier in the podcast, talking about his second halftime performance. But look, there was a white cisgender male on the stage, and there was Janet Jackson. There was this Black woman whose body was quite literally bared publicly, and yet she was put up on that cross, and he went on to see a lot of success immediately after, and she really became the scapegoat for that moment, when at the very least two parties were involved, him and her on the stage. We all saw it.
Yeah.
And yet he did not seem to incur any of that backlash. And then to think about, you know, the over-sexualization, the hyper-sexualization of these young girls in pop culture, the Britney Spears of the world, the Jessica Simpsons, the Christina Aguilera's back in the day, and him now being held accountable for the role that he may have played in, not particularly the hyper-sexualization, I don't mean that part, but in the exploitation of a young woman, specifically Britney Spears, you know, obviously they had a very public relationship. They had a very public breakup. Britney was the one who, it seemed, when it came to public opinion, was being persecuted immediately after blamed that. Blamed. You know, we recently had Liz Day on the podcast talking about that time for Britney. And I remember being like, what? When she actually gave us a little extra nugget that I think made the cutting room floor for her documentary. But that, you know, there was a moment where Justin Timberlake even looked to camera and was like, you know, basically, and I'm paraphrasing here, lay off the booze and the bills and whatever, you know who you are. Yeah. But it that feels very much like kicking someone while they're down. And he's being held accountable for that. Britney fans in general are saying, yo,
even his
looking
fans
back at this. Yeah. Yeah. Fans. That's what I'm saying. When I say fans, I mean, even his are like, we need explanation. We need apology. We need growth. And I think he feels that pressure, and that's where the apology came from. But I would like to see, honestly, I'll ask you that question because I'm not entirely sure. You know, I've talked about this recently. I was a guest on a podcast where we were talking about the Bachelor stuff and, you know, this great reckoning and what do we want? What do we want to see from people who are being held accountable now? What do I do moving forward to let you know that I regret what I did in the past and I'm different? And so I'm curious to know, what does that look like for you in regards to Justin Timberlake?
Well, so it's interesting because I remember reading the whole statement before going into the show that day. I had actually been talking about some things with some people in his camp before the Britney documentary had even come out. And being a fan, being someone who respects his music and his artistry, what he does as an artist, I have felt there has been this hole that needed to be addressed. Right? That there was this space with his fans and people who were fans of him, maybe who were no longer fans, that was still not being effectively addressed. And so, you know, it is always interesting to me the moments that call us forward. You know, I don't discredit the fact that there might have been pressure due to the Free Britney movement or the documentary or the racial reckoning our country is going through or the comments around Black Lives Matter, whatever the situation is that calls you forward. If you step forward, I'll take that. And not in a way to give him or anyone a kind of get out of jail free card or to remove him from the responsibility or the consequences of those actions. But I think that a necessary step was identifying I didn't do what I know I could have done. Mm-hmm. I didn't do nearly enough of what I should have done. And I think that for me, the reason why that was so important and the reason why his apology, while not enough in totality, right, for the situation, but certainly the necessary first step, is that it then sets a precedent. It then sets a certain level of what is expected for men in particular when we do wrong in the future, right? So if no man ever apologizes for doing a woman wrongly, then likely men will continue to not apologize for doing women wrongly wrong. Yeah. And it for me was a signal that like you have to do. This is what you should feel is necessary for not just your career, but your personal growth to showcase how real this is for you. So I think that was necessary. I think that the next step is also to make considerable efforts at every turn to do the right thing. And I don't say that to say that he isn't or that he hasn't or that he doesn't, but that you include more people who maybe have been hurt or hindered by your benefit. You know what I'm saying? Include people to try to make right in that situation. You know, I've said it, and I even said it to his camp when they did the halftime show in Minnesota. I was like, I am waiting for a Janet moment.
I think a lot of us thought that might happen. Yeah.
You know what I mean? And waiting for, and so I think we even heard, you know, sometime after that or sometime around that, Janet was like, I haven't been asked, you know, I would.
Right. Right.
Just want to let you know.
And that's what's interesting, right, about the times we find ourselves in. We're seeing, you know, shows coming back because people were loud enough on Twitter. We're seeing public apologies happening or acknowledging of issues or past wrongs or slights because the internet is loud enough. And while the internet has a lot of bad and it just so much toxicity, it also does a lot of good because I think, you know, you talk about the fact that you told his camp, like, well, I'm waiting for a Janet moment. A lot of people were, and that moment didn't come, right? That was an opportunity that came and it was an opportunity that was missed. And it makes you wonder, what would people do if they weren't held accountable? Right. What opportunities to correct a wrong would be let go of, and which ones would you take? And because that one wasn't taken, it makes you wonder, and now I'm not talking specifically about Justin, but just in general, what would people just let slide, just continue to get away with or do if they could continue to let it slide or get away with it and do it? And so now, obviously, that fire under your butt of, oh, they're watching and they're loud and I better do this the way that it should be done. We know wrong from right. We know we know what we should be doing very often. It doesn't mean we do it. That sort of public accountability can be a good thing. And so, too, does he need to come back Super Bowl number three? Do we need a third halftime show so he can read Miss Jackson out? I wouldn't.
Or maybe it's a conversation with Oprah Winfrey. You know, people are talking about what's the next conversation. Is it Britney Spears? And maybe it's a panel. You know what I'm saying? Maybe it's a panel. You know, she'll do it like Maury. And she's like, well, coming out. No, I'm just kidding.
Next up, Justin Timberlake coming back. Boom.
Could you imagine? Could you imagine? But it is, you know, I just felt like this was a good time to have that conversation as one, people who work in this industry also appreciate him. We're not just going to get on here and bash him, but we're also not going to get up here and just and pretend like reality isn't reality. But I do want to say this quickly before we move on to the last clip. I do think that the fact that he is in a relationship with a woman who seems to be all of the things, Jessica Biel seems to be one of those women who is all of the things. And also, being now a father to two sons, I think it is on him probably a little heavier to be a better example. And so hopefully, you know, our prayer, our hope is that he continues this process of expansion and a growth of his mind and sharing those things with us along the way. So in 2019, I got an opportunity to interview him while he was promoting the Fresh Leaves collaboration for Levi's. And so, and during this conversation, we agreed to some things and our conversation went a whole nother level. It was really interesting, actually. He opened up quite a bit. He talked about identity. He was talking about what it feels like to be a father and how that shifted in him some things. He also talked about creativity and his son, which we don't hear a whole lot about. It was a pretty sweet moment. Listen to this.
No one's ever just one thing.
Right.
I think we always like typecast people, especially people who become famous at something as being like, oh, well, I remember that photograph in my mind, and we typecast them as that thing.
Stay in that lane.
Right, a little bit. But what I really love about where we're at right now is I just feel like there's so many young people that are like doing so many things. And that's just always how I felt as a young person. So, in a very cool way, I feel like I'm getting inspiration from the younger generation as well, from myself, and it's exciting. Yes. It's exciting for me.
When you talk about the younger generation, I will be honest with you, I immediately go to your youngest generation at home right now.
Oh, yeah.
And how he might be inspiring you, and how you might be seeing him develop his own kind of sense of who he is. And I wondered if he's picking his clothes out yet, if he's like, no, I'm not wearing that.
Yeah.
I don't know more of that. Turn the radio off.
Yeah, no, he's pretty specific. Yeah. He's pretty specific, and he'll zone in on like two or three pairs of sneakers that he really likes right now. And he's awesome.
You can hear him trying to figure out how much am I about to tell him? How much am I about to tell Scott about this little boy? Because you know he's so private about
it. So private. And like, again, we were supposed to stay talking about the fashion. So I brought it back when I said,
you asked a fashion question. You was talking about sneakers. That was on brand. About his outfit? Okay. You know, that was in the wheelhouse.
So what was interesting though, when we killed tape, he did then go on to talk about his, you know, his personality and how he is surprising him with how different he is every single day. Mm-hmm. How much they change, how much young people, babies in particular, change every single day. And so it's cool to see. I always have always loved talking to young fathers as they're going about their business being, becoming a dad.
Right? Yeah.
Because I think, and this is my own little thing, once you have a baby, you're a father, but you become over time a dad. Right. So like your gender, your
technically
science will be your father.
Child. Yeah.
But a dad is something that like you you turn into, you develop, and it, you can see him in these moments switch from artist to like crack open as dad. And it's a really, really cool thing.
Right. And now they've got the two, right? Silas and little Phineas, who they just had last year. So Jessica's the queen of the castle, running around with her three boys. Where are they? Are they in Montana, Wyoming, somewhere off the grid?
That's
right?
An island somewhere. I will never forget standing in the middle of the Casamigos Halloween party when in walks, I think it was it a microphone and a disco ball? No, it was a microphone. He was a microphone and she was Justin Timberlake.
Oh, that's right.
When they came into the party dresses, right, their Halloween costumes and bumping all that. I was like, what is going on? That is Justin Timberlake in a foolish costume.
And I do believe his wife is him.
And I do believe his wife is nailing it with the frosted tips.
Yes. Yeah. Long live the frosted tips.
Too oh, good. Gosh. Too good.
Justin Timberlake, man. Well, the frosted tips, he's given us many a look over the years. I'm sure many more will be coming down the pipeline. He's been a massive star since the 90s at this point. Thank you all so much for listening to this episode of The Vault by Access Hollywood. Y'all subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And we will see you in the next one. I'm Zuri Hall.
I'm Scott Evans. Bye.
The Vault by Access Hollywood is hosted by Scott Evans and Zuri Hall, produced by Access Hollywood Digital's Jenny Depper and Rebecca Zamer, and Digital Media Management's Grant Rutter, Audrey Povar, and Ryan Middledorf, and Trey Boudet. Join us next week when we open up that vault again for more iconic celebrity interviews and all things entertainment. Rate, subscribe, and share.